Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
On both sides of the road here, I can see huge areas of forest have been cleared. Much of this is obviously quite recent because in some places there are bare patches with knee-high tree stumps, and in others new rubber trees have been planted which are still thin and spindly. This part of Cambodia along the Vietnamese border is one of the new frontiers in a country where tens of thousands of people have already been evicted from their land.
Cambodia today is a country for sale. Every single natural resource or state asset across the board has a price on it, and it's being sold off at the expense of the Cambodian people.
Basically, it's pure arbitrary dispossession of people's land. It's theft.
Government never take any land from any person without compensation. Those people, they go, they occupy that land illegally down there.
In this BBC programme, I'll be travelling across Cambodia to investigate the way the government is systematically selling off the state's most valuable asset, the land itself. And I'll be trying to understand the relationship between those taking the land and Cambodia's most powerful politicians.
Ramon Phil is taking me through a dense patch of forest. He's an elder of the Jurai ethnic group, and he's showing me how they've survived for generations by cultivating small patches of land and by hunting and gathering.
So this one you can just eat without cooking?
That's right.
Now that's got a very peppery taste to it, a little bit like a spicy lettuce. I mean, it's extraordinary because just in this little area here, this is now the fifth plant that Ramon has shown me. The forest is extraordinarily rich here in different types of plants that you can use.
But this is now one of the few areas of land still available to Ramon Phil and the others in his village. 5 years ago, local officials called a meeting and said they needed some of the forest.
They told us they wanted to give part of our land to disabled soldiers. We said no. They said if you don't give us the land, we'll take it. So we agreed to give them a small area, just 50 hectares. Then after that, they called the people here for a party. The people in the village, they got so drunk. Then the officials told everyone to put their thumbprints on documents. Most of us don't know how to read or write, and the chiefs didn't say what the thumbprints were for.
In fact, the people of Kongyu village had just put their marks on a contract, saying they agreed to sell their land. Not the 50 hectares the villagers had agreed to, but more than 400. And it wasn't disabled soldiers who were going to benefit. Instead, a private company arrived and started clearing the forest to make way for a rubber plantation.
I told them to stop cutting the trees, but they just carried on. They cleared places where our people had their farms. Then the military police told us to come to a meeting. They told us not to protest anymore, or we would be arrested and put in jail.
I've now travelled the long day's drive to the Cambodian capital, Phnom Penh, to try to speak to the owner of the plantation company. She's a powerful businesswoman here called Kiat Kolonai, but her lawyer has told me she doesn't want to make any comment, though he has insisted that she bought the land from the villagers legally. So instead, I've come to the Ministry of Land Management to try to speak to the Secretary of State here in the ministry and ask him about the villagers' claims that their land was stolen. But I've now been told that he's not available to talk to me either. Now, one of the reasons I was keen to speak to him is because it turns out that he's married to Kiat Kolonai, the owner of the plantation company. And that's the problem, because this isn't the only case where those closely connected to senior government officials are accused of taking land from poor Cambodians. A couple of hundred kilometres north, Cham Ran, a farmer, shows me where the people of his village used to graze their cattle. 5 years ago, they found out they no longer owned this land. The whole area had been turned into an economic land concession. That's land the government grants to private companies for investment in large-scale agriculture. In this case, it was allocated to a politically very well-connected company called Piapimex.
The company didn't tell us anything. They just came one day with their bulldozers and started clearing the land straight away. So we organised a demonstration. But then a grenade was thrown among us. We don't know who by. 9 people were injured. And after that, the military police pointed a gun in my stomach and said, if you hold another demonstration, we will kill you.
Right, now, as we've been standing here talking, someone who appears to be an army officer has arrived on a motorbike, and he seems to have come to see what we're doing. He's just having a look at us.
Army.
Hi, how are you? I'm Robert. I'm from BBC Radio. Are you with the military here?
Yeah, he's military here.
You're guarding the land here?
Yeah, that's right.
So this land belongs to the Piapimex company, is that right?
That's right.
But the local people here say this is their land, not Piapimex's land.
Yes, I don't know, but my job is they have asked me to guard. That's why I have to come and do it.
So why is the army guarding the land of a private company?
I don't know, because I'm the army. I just follow the instructions.
Okay, thank you then. So the sergeant has just headed back down the road to the small army base. There's a few huts clustered together between the trees with the Cambodian flag flying above them. And what's interesting about this is that it's military police guarding the land of a private company.
And there are other ways the Piapimex company appears to receive special treatment from the state. Under the law, land concessions granted by the government should not exceed 10,000 hectares. But this concession is 30 times larger, an incredible 300,000 hectares.
We've been concerned about this company for many years. They, alongside a very small handful of people, appear to control the majority of Cambodia's natural resources.
Eleanor Nicol of the environmental pressure group Global Witness has spent years investigating Piapimex. The company has a long history of exploiting timber and other resources, she says illegally. And it's expanded to the point where it now controls more than 7% of Cambodia's total land area.
Simply put, they are arguably Cambodia's most powerful company. They're run by a husband and wife team known as Senator Lau Men Kin and his wife Ye Phu. We initially knew them as logging concessionaires, but since that point they've gone on to diversify their business portfolios into numerous different areas, including economic land concessions, mining, hydropower.
Why do you think they've become so powerful? Why are they able to extend such a control over Cambodia's land and natural resources?
That's a very good question. What we can say is that they do appear to have very strong links with both the Prime Minister and his wife. From our observations over the years, we can see either Lau Men Kin or Ye Pho accompanying Prime Minister Hun Sen on his trips abroad to China.
And is the suggestion then that Piapimex is able to get access to concessions because of its apparent close relationship with the Prime Minister?
I certainly believe it's a strong contributory factor, yeah.
And Piapimex is not the only well-connected company to be granted huge land concessions by the government. Global Witness estimate that 45% of Cambodia's land has been sold off to private interests over the past 15 years. And according to the UN, hundreds of thousands of Cambodians are now affected by land disputes.
The pattern that we can detect behind all these disputes is what is commonly called land grabbing here.
Christophe Pechu is the representative of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights in Cambodia. In theory, Cambodian law recognises the rights of people who've lived on land without dispute for 5 years or more. But Mr. Pechu says this is often just ignored.
Basically, it's pure arbitrary dispossession of people's land. It's theft under penal law.
And it's theft by private companies who have close connections to the government, you believe?
Well, in most of the cases, this is what we are seeing. When you see the local company with its worker, with the local police, evicting people, there is a clear collusion between private interest and public authorities.
But if people have been living on the land for decades, and as you say, under Cambodian law, they have then a legal right to it, how come the courts don't step in and stop these interests taking the land?
It's a difficult issue because it's related to the weakness of the judiciary. Instead of having their rights upheld by the court, often they become victims themselves.
In what sense?
In the sense that criminal charges are leveled against them as a threat or as a way to imprison community representatives.
Imprisoned because they were standing up, yes, to protect their land?
Yes, yes.
But those who try to keep hold of their land can also face other, more serious risks.
I've come an hour's drive to the south of Phnom Penh, and I'm in the middle of a huge flat plain. This is rice-growing land. And the village just over there used to own this land. But a private company, one morning, arrived with bulldozers to clear it. With them was a group of military police officers. Now, with me is Lee Se Ha, who's one of the villagers. Lee, tell me, what happened next?
The military police started pushing us away. There were about 200 of us from the village trying to stop the bulldozers. We asked the military, why have you come to clear the land? They said, this land belongs to the company. We told them it's not true. This is our land. After we said that, they started shooting, some of them in the air, but some at the people.
So when they started shooting in the air, weren't you afraid? Why didn't you run away?
Because this is the land I've been using for 20 years, so I preferred to die defending it. And I walked towards the soldiers saying, don't shoot, you'll hurt people. Then they shot me in the stomach. Then I said, okay, go ahead and shoot me, kill all of the people. Then they shot me again twice through my arm. My brother came to carry me away, but they shot my brother in the legs.
Who's this car that's coming up now?
The woman sitting in the car is the representative of the company.
So just as we're standing here talking, two black Land Cruisers have driven past, belonging, the villagers say, to the company. They were just driving slowly past along the ridge there, having a look down at us. What do you feel now as you see the people from the company driving past what used to be your land?
Every time I come back here, it's like a shock, because this is the land I used to use, and now it belongs to the company. I've lost my hopes for the future, because we don't have any other means to support our families.
The local governor told me by phone that the villagers had no legal title to the land, and the company had the right to remove them. He also said that the farmers were carrying knives during the demonstration, and that's why the military opened fire.
Land grabbing may have started out in the rural areas, but it's now arrived here in the capital in a big way. And that's partly because of the changes that have been going on in Cambodia in recent years. After decades of violence, most notoriously during the brutal Khmer Rouge period, the country is now stable. And the government supporters are also keen to point to a record of strong economic growth and multi-party elections as evidence of a new democratic Cambodia. Now, whatever the international concerns about the state of that democracy, stability has brought a boom in tourism and a huge increase in foreign investment. The result has been rocketing land prices, and it's estimated that in Phnom Penh alone, 30,000 people have already been forced out of their homes to make way for new developments. But that might just be the start.
I'm just making my way along a very, very rickety wooden walkway. This whole community here juts out above the waters of Phum Kat Lake. And it's actually very close to the centre of Phnom Penh. But all of these families living in these wooden houses here have been told they're going to have to leave. Hi, how are you?
I'm
Fine, I'm Robert from BBC.
Beiparom.
Beiparom.
Yes.
Pleased to meet you. Is this your house here?
Yes.
Taking my shoes off.
Beiparom's family is one of 4,000 around the lake facing eviction. The city municipality has granted a 99-year lease to a private company, which has already started filling in the lake. The city says the new development will bring jobs, and it's offering compensation or new houses to the families who have to move. But Beiparom and her neighbours are angry.
I've been living here for 19 years. Most of us living along the lake are not happy with the compensation being offered because it's not fair. It's not enough to buy a similar type of house. But we're worried that if we don't take it and refuse to leave, the municipality will just send in the bulldozers to tear down our houses.
And where would you go if you had to leave this house?
I don't have anywhere else to go if they force us out. We're afraid we'll have to live on the street if we leave here.
When you start looking into land deals like this one, what you start to notice is that it's the same few names that keep cropping up. The company developing this land around the lake is a newly formed one. Its owner is Senator Lau Meng Kin. Now, it's the senator, along with his wife, both friends of the Prime Minister, that also own Piapimex. That's the company which is already said to control more than 7% of Cambodia's land, including the huge 300,000-hectare land concession I visited. I'm on my way now to the company's headquarters. This is the office of Piapimex in Phnom Penh. It's surrounded by a very large wall with iron railings on top. The publicly listed number for Piapimex doesn't work, and we haven't been able to contact anyone from the company, so I've just come to see if there's anyone in the office who can speak to us. See if we can have a word with this woman by the gate. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Is it possible to come into the office?
Yes.
Great, thank you. We're with BBC Radio.
So what do you want to know?
Is it possible to meet with someone from the company?
No, she said that a representative is not here, so...
Is Senator Lau Meng Kim in at the moment?
They're both not here.
And what about Madam Ye Po? Is she in today?
They're both not here.
Okay, so the lady's just walking back inside and the gentleman is closing the gate. And just to our right, there's a couple of soldiers. How are you, sir? A couple of soldiers outside guarding, one of them walking up just to check what we're doing. So it seems that no one from Piapimex is available today. And actually, Piapimex is a very, very difficult company to contact or to get any public comment from.
We also wrote to Senator Lau Meng Kin and his wife, Ye Po, to ask for a response to claims their company has illegally evicted people from land concessions it's been granted. But we've received no reply. So far, we've been hearing about the extent of land grabbing. But in fact, land is just one of the Cambodian state assets up for grabs. Beginning in the 1990s, large swathes of the country's rich forests were sold off for logging. Now, sizable mining and gas concessions are being granted too. And the accusation is that there's a common pattern in the way all these resources are being acquired by private companies.
What we've found is that if you track payments which companies claim to have paid to the government and then cross-compare that with information available as to what is actually going into the government's coffers, that money doesn't appear to make it to its final destination, in which case we can only assume that it's going into the private bank accounts of well-placed individuals.
Eleanor Nicol of Global Witness says those individuals include members of the Cambodian government right up to the highest levels.
That's been a trend that we found across the forest sector, certainly during our 14 years of research there. Essentially, what we're dealing with here is a kleptocratic state. Cambodia today is a country for sale. Every single natural resource or state asset across the board has a price on it, and it's being sold off to these private interests at the expense of the Cambodian people.
I'm on my way now to meet the spokesman for Cambodia's Council of Ministers. He's called Pacey Pan, and I want to put to him these claims that it's senior individuals in the government who are systematically benefiting from the sale of land and other state assets.
Well, that's an accusation. But the process of, receiving the land concession, they have their own committee. Those that they have the committee make a decision based on capital, based on comply what the law stated. Whoever, even you could come, meet the requirement, you could have that.
So those are the criteria companies have to meet. But let's take one example of one concession I visited. The Piapimex concession. It's in Pasat province. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a company, as you know, it's run by a gentleman called Lau Meng Kim and his wife, Ye Po. Okay. They're very close to the Prime Minister, mm-hmm. Hun Sen, and they were given 300,000 hectares.
Well, that requirement doesn't need to be close to Prime Minister. The requirement is you get enough capital, you get enough technology to do develop it.
The law says a concession can be 10,000 hectares. This concession's 300,000 hectares. How come that's happened?
Well, that is, it depends on the investment. I mean, size of investment, size of the capital. But you don't know what's the program, what kind of investment is belong to that area. I think they
The people there, to be clear, the people who were using that land before say it was taken from them without compensation, without dialogue.
Yeah, that they could accuse the government like that, but the government never take any land from any person without compensation. Those people, they go, they occupy that land illegally down there.
Let me put to you clearly the accusation which is being made, which is that Cambodia has become a kleptocratic state run by a very small group of individuals who are enriching themselves by selling off state assets.
Well, they could accuse anything they like it, but Cambodia, we not just a state of law, we modernized the state of law. We just 10 years old out from the civil war. So too many things that have to be put in orders.
Back in Kongyu village, the Jurai people are still protesting about what they say was the theft of their land by a woman married to a senior official in the Ministry of Land Management. They filed a suit in a local court to try to get the land back. But in the last few days, village elder Ramon Phil says he's been threatened again with arrest if he doesn't stop campaigning.
If the company gets the land, we'll starve. The land is the most important thing for us. If we lose the land, we've lost everything for the coming generations.
But the reality is that across Cambodia, people like this are losing such battles. Resistance may be growing, but so far, no one has been able to stop the epidemic of land grabbing.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. The details of them all go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.